It's not yet been declared a pandemic, but COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus, hit a grim mark today, 100,000 cases worldwide. That is confirmed across more than 80 countries. Still, the World Health Organization is stressing the virus is not out of control, but the organization's head, Tedros Ghebreyesus, said all countries should make containment their highest priority.
We continue to call on countries to find, test, isolate, and care for every case and to trace every contact.
Ghebreyesus called on nations to act with speed, scale, and determination.
Countries have been planning for scenarios like this for decades. Now is the time to act on those plans.
Jane Halton has worked on those plans. She's a former chair of the executive board of the WHO and the former health secretary of Australia. In December, she was part of a study with Johns Hopkins University that gamed out responses, not to COVID-19, but to an imaginary virus.
It would seem eerily prescient at one level, but in truth, of course, we do understand in the broad terms how these events pan out. We understand that if you don't manage to control spread early, the impact is greater. We also understand that if you don't slow it down, you will have much more negative impact on the economy and on society.
So the WHO is saying we're not in full pandemic mode yet. It's not giving up on the containment of the spread of COVID-19. So what does containing the disease actually mean?
Well, containment of the disease means you actually control and limit its spread. In other words, it doesn't spread to all corners of the globe. And it is still the case if you look geographically. When you try to contain, what you try to do is eliminate that virus in that community. You don't let it run its natural course, which would be, of course, a much higher attack rate. Many more people would get it than if you managed to contain it. So when the Director General of the WHO rightly says we're not, and it's a technical thing as to whether we're in pandemic or not, but we don't have universal and widespread yet. And I mean, I think all people who work in public health would hope that we could contain and therefore minimize the impact of this disease. But it's a big task, and I don't think any of us should underestimate how difficult that task is.
In these gamed-out scenarios, though, how does coronavirus end, or the imaginary virus that you were using?
Well, in the gamed-out scenarios, I mean, essentially you end up with many hundreds of thousands of people who have died. And, I mean, I think this is the thing to understand, that in that scenario, the numbers that you care about are, one, how many people get the disease, two, how many of them are seriously ill, and then also what is the death rate. So, obviously, a death rate of, say, 1% on a disease which doesn't impact very many people is not going to result in many deaths, and also is not going to result in your health system being overwhelmed by all the people who need intensive care or ventilation at the one time. If, however, you have a huge number of people, say 30% of the population would get this virus, and particularly if they get it at the same time, then you end up with many more people needing hospital care, and most countries don't have idle hospital care available, idle intensive care available, and so therefore you end up with many more deaths. And in that scenario, as is the case with all diseases eventually, the scenario that we gamed in New York, eventually that came to an end, and ultimately, of course, you end up with pharmaceutical interventions. By that I mean treatments and a vaccine, and so you can then bring it under control. But it is undoubtedly the case that you end up with many, many, many deaths, and depending on the level of spread with this disease, that is the risk that we're all confronting.
And what comes after containment itself?
Basically, you try to minimize the impact. But what you're effectively doing with containment in the post-containment period is you're actually trying to buy the time to actually develop the vaccine 12 to 18 months. And the thing we need to remember, even when we get that vaccine developed, we have to produce it. And we have to actually think about where the priority is for that vaccine. So post-containment is, we hope, a world where we do have pharmaceutical interventions and other treatments available, which means because these diseases will continue to circulate, we all know that. Once the genie's out of the bottle, you can't get it back in, but we need to be in a position where we can manage it much more effectively.
Are you implying that COVID-19 is here forever? It's here to stay?
It will be surprising if we ever completely eliminate this virus.
Finally, Jane Halton, if you don't mind me asking, how have you prepared for yourself, for your family? Are you doing any flying?
No, I will concede that I am not flying. And I'm pretty much grounded in Australia until the bulk of this passes. I mean, there's two reasons for that, and not necessarily that I have a particular personal concern about my own safety, but I'm also worried about the notion of one being stuck somewhere, but also the impact that I might have if I pass the disease on to somebody who is very vulnerable. And we know, particularly for older people and people with comorbidities, other diseases and illnesses that make them vulnerable if they become ill. And I think everyone's got a responsibility not just to think about themselves, but also other people in the community and their loved ones.
Jane Halton, former chair of the World Health Organization's Executive Board. Thank you very much.
It was a complete pleasure. Thank you.